Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm glad you've joined us here. This is another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast. The More Abundant Life features inspiring messages and presentations by Pastor Wentley Phipps. And on this special weekend, we have a special message from Pastor Phipps, one that centers around the theme for this weekend, which is the Easter concept and the Easter season. It's a message about Christ and his death. I hope that you'll stay tuned. But before we get into the message, here is some music about the thief on the cross, the thief that died with Christ. It's entitled Remember Me.
Said, have no fear, son, you shall be with me eternally. It is for you that I die. And now I know Christ lives again. And he stands all alone before the white throne. With his own righteous life, he covers mine. So I cry, remember me when you come into your kingdom, O Lord. Remember me when you talk to your Father. Tell him that I know I've not been all he wants me to be, but in mercy now I plead. Lord, please remember me. Remember remember me.
You are listening to The More Abundant Life, and my name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host for today's program. We just heard music by Wintley Phipps. The song is entitled Remember Me, and it's from the CD release entitled The Neo-Gospel Experience by Wintley Phipps. And it really sets the tone for the message, which is about to begin here by Pastor Phipps. The message around the theme of Easter and the death and resurrection of Christ. Here's Pastor Phipps now with today's sermon.
Dying at the side of Jesus that Friday before Easter Sunday was a nameless thief, a criminal condemned to die. This thief knew that because of his choices, he had brought a dreadful judgment upon himself. And my wife always reminds our children, choices, choices. Now, he was different in character and experience than the other thief who was being crucified. For unlike the other man condemned to die, this thief was not a hardened criminal. In his youth, he had been wrongly influenced by his peers, and one day turned against all that he knew was right and took a wrong turn on the highway of life. As a young man, he had been led astray by evil companions, and one day found himself at the wrong place at the wrong time. He was arrested, tried, and condemned to die. Young people, I tell you this day, watch the company you keep. Watch those you run with at school. The Bible warns that bad company corrupts good morals. You see, it is in the nature of man to become like those we see around us. That's why you've got to watch the company you keep. It is in our nature to become like those we see around us. The Bible says, by beholding, we are changed into what we behold. And remember, young people, you don't even have to be a teenager to be caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. If you don't believe me, ask that 11-year-old in Jonesboro, Arkansas, who might spend the best, most vibrant years of his life behind bars, all because he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Watch the company you keep. It is a terrible thing to be wrongfully influenced by your peers and then, young people, be caught up. This young man didn't set out to be a thief. More than likely, he was raised in a godly home. He carried in his heart's memory psalms and scriptures he learned at his mother's knee. Though he had turned away from all the principles he had been taught and had given himself over to a life of crime, still he was haunted by sacred memories. Memories of times when his mother would lift him before his heavenly father in prayer. Memories. You know, have you ever met people who walk with God, who grew up in the church and have strayed away? Often they are haunted by memories of when the family would gather together on Friday evening and welcome the hallowed hours of the Sabbath. And though he found himself trapped in a life of criminal behavior, he couldn't forget the scripture verses and songs his dedicated teachers and rabbis taught him, he could not expunge from his heart the years of faithful moral instruction. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he won't forget. Now, this young man had been a contemporary of Jesus, and it is quite possible that on occasion he had stood on the edge of a multitude listening to Jesus preach. It is quite possible that this young man at some point had actually heard Jesus preach. Perhaps his heart was one of the thousands who saw the Savior's miracles and thrilled to the testimony and witness of Jesus. Church, not everyone who heard him believed, you know. Not everyone who heard him followed him. When Jesus invited those in the crowd to follow in the paths of righteousness, this young man, swayed by the objections of his friends and religious leaders, walked away from Jesus as Agrippa almost persuaded. Oh, but church, when you know the truth, it has a way of calling you back. When you know the truth, it has a way of wooing you when you stray. The Bible says, train up a child. Often as he lay on his bed at night, I imagine this thief would hear the dim echoes of the Savior's voice, offering him grace, mercy, and pardon. But instead of yielding to the tender influence of the Spirit, this young man stifled the voice of conscience, found himself going down a slippery path deeper and deeper into sin. And here he was, condemned to die a horrible, ignominious death on a cross. Imagine his shock and amazement that day on Golgotha as they raised his cross to the Judean sky, and there beside him, also sentenced to die, as he turned his head, he saw Jesus, the one whose words had thrilled his heart. He watched and marveled at the way Christ blessed those who were taunting him. Brothers and sisters, when people are taunting you, bless them. When people are persecuting you and tormenting you, bless them. The Bible says it'll fall like curses upon their heads. Bless them, say, God bless you. He watched as Jesus prayed for those who were persecuting him. They said he saved others, yet he can't even save himself. Oh, you and I know he could have called 10,000 angels. But he hung there in genuine pity for those who were lost. And the lost, this is one amazing thing to me, included those who were persecuting him. Jesus was dying for those who were taking his life. That thief heard all the last and final words of Jesus. He heard him pray, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? He heard him pray, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He heard him cry out in agony, I'm thirsty. Friends, that thief hung there, his face and lips cold and pale with death. His family and friends weeping for him because they felt he had gone too far in sin to make it back to the fold of safety. Everybody who knew him stood at the cross, shaking their heads in sorrow and disbelief. How could it come to this? It's too late now, some thought. He's beyond hope, reasoned others. Too late for his heart to be touched by the mercies of heaven. But somehow, at that 11th hour, while soldiers were gambling and quarreling over the robe that veiled Jesus' human frame, while the mob was shouting and the priests were jeering at him, someone noticed that a conversation was passing between these three men dying next to each other on Golgotha's hill. Someone strained to hear the words that were being exchanged between them. And one thief said, Mister, if you are who they say you are, get us out of here. One thief said, Mister, get us out of here. Church, remember, the devil's most consistent temptation to Jesus was also with those same words. In the wilderness, after fasting for 40 years, the devil came to Jesus saying, if you are really who you say you are, Turn these stones into bread. If you are who you say you are, the Son of God, cast yourself down from this temple. Didn't the Bible say, didn't the scripture say that he'll give his angels charge over you? The other thief on the cross, however, took one look at Jesus' brow. Crowned with thorns, he took one look at his bleeding side. And suddenly the conviction swept over him. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Right then and there, he begins to believe again that there is a heaven to win and a hell to shun. I tell you, that makes the difference often between whether people make it to the kingdom of God. If you've got to believe there's a heaven to win and a hell to shun. He knows, this thief knows that his own life is slipping away. Oh, he knows his probation is about to close. And he's jolted by the reminder that every sin he has ever committed, he will meet again in judgment. Despair sweeps over his soul. Brothers and sisters, try as we might to shun it, all of us, like that thief on the cross, must face this awful truth. That for each one of us, well, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed under men once to die, but after this, what? After this, the judgment. Did you know, brothers and sisters, we may not like it, but that's just the way it is. You can't change this awesome reality. After death, what? Judgment. You know, I read once where Katharine Hepburn said, I hate punctuating with periods. She said, they're so final, like death. She said, I use a dash instead of a period. And commas bother me. When I use one, I think I've stubbed my toe. She said, I haven't made up my mind about question marks. Brothers and sisters, no matter how you punctuate life, there is in the heart and mind of every man the consciousness that there is a judgment that is coming. 1 Corinthians 4:5. If you have your Bibles, turn there to it. 1 Corinthians 4:5 says, therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light, what? The hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Have mercy. All the hidden things will be brought to light. Someone said sin is its own detective. Because the Bible says your sins will find you out. Huh? A man in the South by the name of Donald Wells has invented, check this out, a televised tombstone. It's selling for $6,000. It is a stainless steel box television set to be embedded in a grave marker. And you press a button and it shows you a 10-minute videotape photo obituary of the deceased. The television screen is covered by bulletproof glass and is supposed to last 500 years. But I want you to know God doesn't need a Sony video cam to record the life that we've lived. I read somewhere where Dr. Wilbur Penfield, director of the Montreal Neurological Institute, said in a report to the Smithsonian Institute, he said, your brain contains a permanent record of your past that is like a single continuous strip of movie film, complete with soundtrack. This film library records your whole waking life from childhood on. You can live again those scenes from your past one at a time when a surgeon applies a gentle electrical current to a certain point on the temporal cortex of your brain. Huh. Ecclesiastes 12:14, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. And so, friend, in the judgment, you can't do like people do today before grand juries. You can't plead the fifth. You can't say, I have no recollection, or I simply don't remember, because all God's got to do is say, let me help you remember, and touch your brain with an electrical impulse, and everything you have ever done will be brought back to your remembrance as accurately and as vividly as though it were happening to you right then and there. Dr. Penfield goes on to say that as you relive the scenes from your past, boy, this is awesome, you will feel exactly the same emotions that you did during the original experience. Woo! So God doesn't even need a spy to film a movie record of your sins. He uses your own brain. He uses your own record that is built into your brain, and it is a record that will never, you won't be able to deny it, because it's your record. We will be judged, brothers and sisters. No wonder the writer Seneca said, I will govern my life and my thoughts as if the whole world were to see the one and to read the other. As if they were to see my life and read my thoughts. For what does it signify, he said, to make anything a secret to neighbor when to God, who is the searcher of all hearts, all our privacies are open? Now, there are two things in life that modern philosophers tell us are certain, and they are death and taxes. But there's one thing more certain than death and taxes. After death, what? Judgment. The thief on the cross knew that all of us one day are going to stand before God with every secret known. Kings will be there. Peasants will be there. Every priest, every politician, every president, everyone who's trying to expose the president. It's all going to be there. Why do you think you don't see so many of them rushing out to charge against? Because they know. Help me, Jesus. And it was Pascal who once said, it is not permitted even to the most equitable of men to be a judge in their own case. You're not even a good enough judge to be a judge of yourself. Even on earth, we sometimes see juries making mistakes and judges making mistakes. Is it any wonder that our judicial system works at all? When Clarence Darrow, a young lawyer, was presiding over a court case for damages in a small town, one man, supposedly the smartest amongst them, was elected foreman by the jury, according to the local customs. And throughout the case, Attorney Darrow concentrated on this man and addressed all his oratory to this man because he was the leader of the jury. The case finally went to the jury, and after an unusually long wait, the jury filed in. Gentlemen, said the judge, have you reached a decision? No, Your Honor, answered the foreman. We've come back to ask for some information. There are two words which we have used and we've heard used throughout this trial which we don't know the meaning of. What are they? Asked the judge. One word is plaintiff and the other is defendant. Thank God our cases that are being decided for eternity will only be decided. Let me say 1 Corinthians 6:2. Look in your Bible, 1 Corinthians 6:2. Do ye not know that the saints will judge? But thank God they will only judge after they have put on immortality and perfection. Amen? I don't want you judging me yet. Wait till you've been translated. Wait till you're perfect. Because you're going to make a mistake. You don't know me. I read somewhere that there are some more than 2 million laws in the United States. And if a man could familiarize himself with those laws at the rate of 2 laws a day, he would be qualified to be a judge in about 6,000 years. The law by which we shall be judged in the final judgment, however, is a very simple one. Turn with me to James, the book of James, chapter 2. What book did I say? James. The book of James, chapter 2. And I want to draw your attention. Thank God for his holy word today. Verse 10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by what? The law, that means the Ten Commandments, that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Oh, Lord, you didn't hear that today. Mercy triumphs over judgment.
Well, that is the end of the message for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message. I certainly did. Pastor Phipps always gives us plenty to think about and always shows us new perspectives, different perspectives on situations that we may have read about in the Bible many, many times. And this is good for us. It's good to think and look at things in a different way. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. I'm going to give you that phone number again. That's at Seabrook Church for an audio copy of today's message, and the phone number is 301-577-6342. You want to ask for program number 284 today. Remember, that's program number 284, which gives you the message that we heard and broadcast today. I thank you for listening, and I do hope that you will have a good week. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., and I hope that you'll join us again for another program. But until you can, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10. That's where Jesus said, "I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life." God bless you. Until next time.
What's in your heart?